Welcome to the IRIS podcast. This talk was recorded at Critical Skills for Critical Times conference and workshop organised by Murray Collaborative Learning Network, held at Murray College, 17th of March 2011. Local context by Callum McPherson, Area Manager, HIE Murray.
There were some very important messages which were delivered early this morning. I'm going to start off being totally parochial and biased and saying that I think Murray's an absolutely fantastic place. I think there's a lot of very hard challenges we'll have ahead, but overall, you know what, I still think it's one of the best places in Scotland and therefore in the world. And what I'd like to do is just go through a few things, just, you know, the strengths and weaknesses. My role is very much around the economics of things. I've been honoured to be part of what's happening in the Community Planning Partnership and what the community and businesses have been leading on around this sort of campaign for retaining the RAF. And I have to say it's been an honour and a real education. Nothing like learning the hard way, but I'll come on to that in a wee while. So, first of all, what are the strengths for Murray? So let's, you know, after some doom and gloom earlier on, very factual based, but some doom and gloom, let's see a few strengths of this region that are absolutely irrefutable. First thing is, in terms of the environment here and the place where we live, it's absolutely fantastic. The amount of people that I've heard have come here for a year or two and then say, once we realise we're here, we're not leaving again, because you've got beaches, mountains, fantastic, everything. And that's really important for what might happen coming next. Employment, I'll qualify this in a minute, but in employment terms, we're still about 2.5%, way below the Scottish average in terms of unemployment. And whilst you have to look at the context, and it's not something I can remember, but a lot of people talk to me about when unemployment was three or four times that in living memory. Standard living is really high. The standards which are used to measure standard living, things like healthcare, crime levels, you know, amenities in the area, access to road, rail, all these things, time and time again, show that actually Murray's got a very high standard of living. So, and I think that, you know, I think we agree, those tough times, that's why people don't leave here, because it is such a fantastically high standard of living, and the education levels and everything are fantastic. We have a fantastically iconic brands. I mean, between Speyside and between Walkers and Baxters and all these things, there's a lot of things happening here that punch way beyond their weight in terms of reach. I mean, Walkers, for example, are currently selling 82 countries in the world. Just a fantastic product. People don't realise, just, you know, it's in Murray, it's in Speyside, and people understand that. And the last thing as well is I think we have a strength in Murray, which is not always understood. But in terms of the social enterprise and voluntary sector, it is amazingly strong in Murray compared to certainly the rest of the Highlands Islands and certainly the rest of Scotland. It's a fantastic infrastructure and depth of provision there is in the voluntary and social enterprise sector. So those are some of the strengths. Some of the weaknesses, having said that we've got low unemployment, unfortunately we have also got low wages. We have one of the lowest average wages in the whole of Scotland. And that's possibly why things like homes, although they're maybe cheaper, are less within reach. Demographics, I'm afraid, age-wise, we don't have a fantastic demographic. We have, like in many parts of the north, we're losing a lot of our sort of 18 to 25-year-olds. I'm afraid the trend isn't fantastic. Hopefully, the University of Highlands and Islands, Murray College, and these places will change that. But demographics-wise, we've got challenges there. Health-wise, although there's a lot of good health cover, we have certain parts of our health demographic, and people in this room will know a lot more about it than me, where Murray isn't fantastic. And right now, of course, we have our weakness, which is we've got some fundamental things which are a feature of this part of the world, like, for example, the 5,700 jobs supported by the RAF, which are in a precarious situation. So that said, there are strengths and there are weaknesses. But underlying all of this, and we're all part of this, there's a challenge we have in Murray. And if I had a visual to throw up, it would be a big basket of eggs, because so many of our eggs are in the same basket. 33% of people in Murray are employed in public education, health, or administration. One in three jobs, and it's just too much. It's just too much. So that when a big threat hangs over the local authority or over the RAF or over the healthcare, we're so precariously positioned around that. We also have some other very big chunks of employment, like, for example, in food and drink. So were something to happen to, say, Baxters or Walkers alone, you'd have a pretty big hole. 1,400 staff working for Walkers just now. So, you know, we have got a few parts of our economy which, although in the face of it are quite strong, we've got less resilience in times of challenge. So, for example, even if all the publicly funded bodies and voluntary sector who receive that funding were to receive a 5-10% cut in, say, headcount, you're talking thousands and thousands of jobs. So that's kind of the underlying challenge. So what is the vision for this? What is the vision that the Community Planning Partnership and everybody in this room is looking to? Well, in the long term, what we want, not just for ourselves, but for our children and others, is a vibrant economy where there's lots of options for high-end employment. You don't necessarily have to leave Murray to be educated or get good jobs if you don't want to. And you want it such that in the future, if a shock happens to come our way, be it MOD rationalisation, be it something happens to one of our bigger businesses or another foot and mouth happens to the agricultural sector, we're not in a situation where we've got a huge proportion of the economy shaking. So the long-term vision is diversify the economy, lift the kind of wages that we have here, and get to the stage where there's real options for our young people to stay in the area. So that's then now being more positive, and I'm going to stick to the positive for the first part of my presentation. What are the unique selling points about Murray? Because it's an extremely competitive global market which we live in. I'm sure Richard talked about the global trends and how the world is moving. Well, first thing, there's four things I'm going to touch on here that I think this part of the world is actually extremely well placed on. It might not happen in the next 12 months, it might not happen in the next two or three years, but in the long term I think it will happen. And first of all, as I mentioned, the environment. It's a fantastic place to live, and the world is getting smaller. And I was on Sky for 8 years, and one of the things that happened there is like one of the sub-editors, the Times, moved up there, because he realised that with the connectivity he could do all his editing, video conferencing and everything from his house in the south of Sky. And I'm sure there's lots and lots of examples the same in Murray where that's starting to happen. And as people realise, you don't actually have to live in a huge urban sprawl to do some of these jobs. They'll start to realise that they can sell their two-bedroom flat in Kensington and buy a seven-bedroom mansion up here, live in a fantastic place with fantastic health, education, low crime rates, and be in their office with a press of a button. And I think over the next 5-10 years that'll evolve more and more at this part of the world. And in fact, we're down to be one of the four UK pilot areas for the next generation of broadband, and the vast majority of Murray is going to be extremely well connected in the coming years compared to the rest of Scotland, certainly. Next thing is energy. A lot of you, I'm sure, have got family or partners who work in the oil and gas sector. At the moment, there's something happening in the North Sea, and that is that all the guys and girls who work as mid-engineers, chemists, their age is getting on. I think the average age now, I was going to say early on, I was going to make a fantastic statistic. Apparently, 42% of statistics are made up in the spot. So I'm going to throw another one down. I think it's somewhere in the order of the average age out there is now about 56, sort of in the mid-50s. So what's happening in the oil and gas industry right now is they're thinking, where on earth are we going to get the next generation of engineers, electricians, safety guys? And that's why, for example, there's three coachloads of people leaving RAF Kinloss to go to Aberdeen to look at options there. And BP came here last Thursday along with four or five other companies because they really desperately need labour. And I think that might be, and it's already a feature of the economy here, but I think that may be a feature going forward. But also renewable fabrication. We've got a number of engineering companies here, fabricating companies who are well into the oil and gas sector and also in the emerging renewable sector. And I think in time, as that ramps up, and it undoubtedly is ramping up, we'll see that that becomes a bigger, bigger feature of Murray. My third area where I think that Murray is going to have a big future on is health. The situation we have in Murray is that we've got a fantastic, from the a district nursing level through to GP level through to specialist level, all a full range of the health remit that is offered within the NHS in quite a small area. We also have some particular health challenges. And at the moment, I'm conscious Mike's sitting right in front of me here, what's happening with the sort of Murray Life Science Centre? It's extremely interesting. Normally, when we're working with Scottish Development International and others, we've really got to chase multinationals and people who want to get involved in future healthcare development. They're coming to Murray. They really are. They're desperate to come to Murray because they see this as the ideal place to evolve the next generation of particularly digital healthcare. So it's already a reality. It's already happening on the ground. There are already people, as you probably know, in General Electric and other places involved in projects and things that are here. General Electric being, of course, the biggest company on the planet. And, we have a lot of other people interested. So, again, that'll be a feature going forward and one we have to capitalise on. And just to be absolutely clear, they're not interested in other parts of the UK because nowhere else in the UK has the same proximity of primary, secondary healthcare in such a small area with a defined population. And there's nowhere else that's got the level of people in the system. If you go to places like Denmark and that, for sure they've got great systems, but there's not nearly the same amount of people who register with a doctor. You don't have the same depth within the population. So health's an option. And the last one is tourism. We've got a space here. We're the capital of the world in whisky terms. I have to say it's quite a challenging area because, being a bit controversial, the whisky industry doesn't quite see, I think, their reciprocating requirement to cooperate with Murray. But I think that tourism really could be something massive. At the moment, to be blunt, tourism isn't all it could be in Murray. We haven't got the infrastructure we need. There's no five-star hotels in the whole of Murray, quite amazingly. There's no Michelin-star restaurants in the whole of Murray, quite amazingly. So we really need to think about how it is we get to a stage where people who want to come to this fantastic place, who really want to stay here and have a certain level of service, do that as well. So those are the kind of unique selling points that Murray has. No one else has those things. That's why I'm pretty optimistic about what's going to happen going forward. in terms of context, and I'll swing now away from sort of the economic side to a bit more of the flavour of what's talked about this morning around diminishing resources. We've had a few conversations with the fire and with the police and with the college and with the local authority around cuts, you know, and it seems to be one of these games about who's got the worst scar. Look how deep that one is. High's no different, and I guess we've experienced a 40% cut in budget in the last 3 years. Now, it's different for us because so much of what we do is discretionary, and I totally accept that so many of the services and things that you people are involved in are absolutely essential, so there's less room for latitude. But one thing it has done to us is made us think differently. And, of course, the usual curve you get in leadership and managing people is the leadership decides, oh, crikey, here's the budget for the next 3 years, here's what we've got to do. They start coming up with some ideas. The middle management can say, oh, don't think I really like the look of that, but okay, I see why we have to do it. And then they communicate that down to the people doing the job. We'll say, oh, they're mad, what are they talking about? You know, why are we doing this? That usual curve, and it's a classic change management curve. Leadership are at the front end in terms of understanding because they have more information, but they are the ones with responsibility for then structuring that change, so they feed it down to the middle management, who then have to do the challenge of interpreting the long-term instructions to the practicalities, and then the people who are delivering on the ground, of course, are then quite distant from the information level at the top. I mean, it's a classic change management curve. But sometimes when a crisis comes at you, and I think it's fair to say we're you know, at a time of sort of radical change, you just have to flatten that curve out and learn a bit faster. So now, we've been asked to do things very differently. One of the things I would say from my personal experience in Murray that it's done is, you know, and I have to say that probably the real example here has been the response to the RAF threat, is that we're probably having more meaningful conversations with the college and with the local authority and with others than the Skills Development Scotland, for example, than we've had before. You know, really looking very closely at what we do. And in fact, the task force makeup that was set up had very deliberately had the community and the voluntary sector well represented. It had the business sector well represented and then the public sector well represented. Ironically, just quite similar to actually makeup of the economy in terms of a third being public health, you know, a part of that public employment that place. So, and, you know, I think it's really been an eye-opener just about how we can work together sharper and faster. And I know that certainly from my experience working with local authority on things like how we deal with infrastructure and property things going forward, we've made a quantum leap where we were 6 months ago because we just had to. There was no option. We just had to. So, I mean, I remember, for example, the way in which we used to do things because we could afford to do it was, we'll try and gain consensus. We'll try and improve this. But you know what? At the end of the day, if we can't, you know, we'll just horse on because you can. Can't do that anymore. We've got to really think carefully about how we do it. The other thing I would say is that, you know, the place we are, we're finding ourselves, and it's easier to say for us because we do things discretionary, is, and I say this to my senior management, you just got to do less. We've just got to accept we cannot do everything we did before. But what we should do is we should do it differently, and we should do it well. And I think from my side of it, and I would imagine for a lot of what you do, that's kind of the change in concept we have to get. So I'll round off by giving you this quote. I had the honour of meeting and interviewing a guy called Professor Ken Morse, who's a professor at MIT of economics. He's also recently been appointed to Obama's advisory board, so he's no fool. And I kind of talked to him about, you know, what was happening in the economy here, what's happening with public, you know, the public finances and everything that's happening. And I said, if you had to give me, you know, a sentence of advice, what would it be? And he said a typical kind of, you know, Alabama drawl. He said, don't waste a crisis. Never waste a crisis. You'll never get the chance to do it again. If you let the crisis pass and you don't take the opportunity to do something radically different and change the way you behave, then you've lost that opportunity. So, you know, I think that's the kind of the note I'll end on. We are facing a bit of a crisis, but as I said earlier on, I think it's a huge opportunity. We just need to change the way we do things.
This recording is copyright of Iris 2011. It may be reused under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 2.5 UK Scotland license. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.